Well, happy high day, everybody. I ask my friend Mr. Snyder here, says, so what should I speak about today? He goes, well, Howard, you should speak about bread, of course. And that's really what I'm going to speak about today. The title of this message, it's been a message that is, we've been hearing that theme. It's what God has done for me. So we're just a few hours away from the end of what we understand to be the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The Bible provides discussion and reasoning why we should celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread as New Testament Christians. We've kept these last days as a special festival. And why? Certainly, we keep these days to learn about becoming free from sin and sin's influences in and on our lives. The command to keep not to eat a type of food product, leavened bread, helps us to visualize the depth of how sin is in our lives. It's everywhere. This year, we have the Spirit of God inspiring a repeating theme. It is a question we can ask ourselves and others. Why do we keep these 7 days? Why do we memorialize Passover by keeping the days of unleavened bread? Well, it goes back to Moses speaking the word of God to the children of Israel about 1465 BC by some accounts. So that's quite a long time ago. So let's start our scripture reading by looking at Exodus 13. Exodus 13. And I'm going to look at verses 7 and 8. So Exodus 13, 7 and 8 says, unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and no leavened bread shall be seen among you, nor shall leaven be seen among you in all your quarters. And you shall tell your son in that day, saying, this is done because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt. This is a testimony of faith and thankfulness. So let's ask ourselves this real important question. What is our Egypt? Is it that old man? It should be. That old attitude, that dead body that we leave behind when we repent of sin and take the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ? What God has done for us since we repented of sin and took the sacrifice, the body and blood of Jesus, what is that? We may have everlasting life, and we will be raised up on that last day. So let's discuss our bodies. We all need to eat, yes? We all need water and food to keep our bodies alive. How long do you think you or I can go without water or bread? Dehydration can come on people pretty quickly. The common thought is we can survive about 3 days with no water. How about food? How long with no food? It's terrible that we know the answer to this because the age we live in, we still see starvation, and it's been documented. According to Angela Morrow, registered nurse on the website verywellhealth.com, says the body can go 30 to 50 days before the organs start to shut down, taking another 20 days or so for death to occur. So we're not able to go very long without water, 3 days, a little bit longer without food, but in the end, death does occur. Jesus said, though, that we're never going to hunger or thirst. So let's look at John 6 and let's see what he meant about this. John 6. And I'm going to start in verse 35. John 6, 35. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Let's skip to verse 39. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have life, and I will raise him up at that last day. You see, we were all dead to sin and our mortal bodies before we buried that old man in baptism. They were dead. The penalty for sin is death, and we all earn that penalty. We were already condemned, folks. Let's skip to verse 53. Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." Verse 54, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at that last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me." Continuing, verse 58, "This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever." God has given us the bread of life and the opportunity for eternal life in his kingdom. We acknowledge the meal on Passover evening as New Testament Christians, keeping the New Testament Passover. We humble ourselves by washing each other's feet. We get ourselves in the right mindset and our hearts are set in the right place. Then we take a small bite of unleavened bread and take that small cup of wine every Passover. It absorbs into our bodies. It becomes part of us. Let's repeat for emphasis what Jesus said, "For my flesh is food indeed. My blood is drink indeed. Who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him." The incredible realization is we annually remember him and proclaim his death until he returns with these symbols. The institution of the Lord's Supper, let's look at that in 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11. And in verse 23 through 26, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So what has God done for us since we repented of sin and we took the sacrifice, the body and blood of Jesus? We're given the opportunity to repent of the wrong way of living. We're able to be made clean and have everlasting life and have that opportunity to be raised on the last day. When we live in sin, it's like we're living in a spiritual dark land. The memorial of Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread demonstrate how we have been led out of this power and dominion of darkness because of the sacrifice of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. Have you ever thought of your Egypt as a place of darkness? Let's look at Colossians. Colossians 1. Verse 13 and 14. Colossians 1, verse 13 and 14. It says, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. We come out of the dominion of sin by the power and authority of Jesus Christ, living within us and sustaining us. We can and do become free of wrong thoughts, bad memories, ugly attitudes. This is part of being rescued from that power and dominion of darkness. God is now constantly moving, can I say, conveying our hearts and minds to a perfect place called the kingdom of God. Sin will lead us astray, folks, away from God's plan of salvation. If we live under the power and authority of darkness, our thoughts get confused by false beliefs, misconceptions, and, believe it or not, outright lies. The constant barrage of ideas pushed at us almost all the time, if we allow it. So let's look at a New Testament example of this idea. We're nearby, Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, a few pages back in the Bible. And this is simple, verses 1 through 3. Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 3. And you He made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in what which you once walked according to the course of this world. Yeah, that dominion of darkness we're talking about. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. It goes on to say in verses 12 and 13 of Ephesians 2, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him. Therefore, I ask you, do not lose heart. The salvation from God starts with an offering of a life, the spilling of blood, the delivering of slavery of the wrong customs and habits, desires of the flesh and of the mind. Prior to our calling and conversion to our new man, we lived unaware slaves in Egypt, living following the course of the times, following the fads and the customs, the habits of the days. These free Hebrew slaves would be provided the basis of our faith. The shadow is what to come. They would learn to practice the ways of God in a hostile and superstitious age. The children of Israel would depart from Egypt and then would wander 40 years before their children would be allowed to enter the promised land. Near the end of these 40 years, Moses would remind them of their journey and the instructions that the Almighty God had provided them. And this is in the book of Deuteronomy. So let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6, to the front of our Bible. Deuteronomy is a wonderful book. We should all read it every few years. It's a great summary for the church. It has the law, the commandments, and so many good things in it. And Jesus quoted it a lot too. So Deuteronomy 6, and this is a place where Moses had just reviewed the Ten Commandments and the ordinances in chapter 5 with the children of Israel, and they said, this we will do. So let's pull ourselves down to Deuteronomy 6 and verse 20 through 25. When your son asks you in the time to come, saying, what is the meaning of the testimonies, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord our God has commanded you? Then you shall say to your son, we were slaves in Egypt. We were slaves of Pharaoh. And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders before our eyes, great and severe, against Egypt, Pharaoh, and all his household. Then he brought us out from there, and he might bring us into the land which he swore to our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to observe these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he may preserve us alive until this day. Then it will be righteousness for us if we are careful to observe all these commandments before the Lord our God, as he has commanded us. God's righteousness through his word will be ours. It will be our righteousness if we are careful to take it. In this instance, we keep his Passover in the appointed Feast of Unleavened Bread. So what is our Egypt? We once walked according to the course of this world. We call it our old man. It is that dead body left behind when we repented of sin. We died in baptism and took the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ, making us alive. What has God done for us since we repented of sin and took the sacrifice, the body and blood of Jesus? God has preserved us alive, promised us everlasting life, and wants to give us the kingdom promised through his word. Those who have repented, been baptized, and given the Spirit renew their commitment by taking a small bite of unleavened bread and take a sip of wine every Passover. That little bit of bread and wine absorb into our bodies and become part of us. And we proclaim the death of Jesus Christ in doing so. We confirm our commitment, confirm it, by eating the flesh of Jesus and drinking his blood. Jesus becomes part of us. It becomes part of us, living in our physical body now to develop and guide us. And later, when our bodies are gone, he will bring us into spiritual glory. And again, Jesus said in John 6, 56 and 57, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. And as the Father has sent me, I live because of the Father. So he who feeds on me will live because of me. Happy High Day.